storms came early with rain, and between the rains, fierce winds struck the island and filled the air with sand. During this time, I made myself another dress, but most of the days I spent fashioning a spear to catch the giant devilfish. I had seen the spear made, as I had seen my father make bows and arrows, yet I knew little about it, no more than I had about the others. Still, I remembered how it looked and how it was used. From these memories I made it, after many errors and many hours of work, sitting on the floor while Rontus slept nearby and the storms beat upon the roof. 4 of the sea elephant teeth were left, and though I broke all except one, this I worked down to a head with a barbed point. I then made a ring and fastened it to the end of the shaft, and into this ring fitted the head, which was tied to a long string made of braided sinew. When the spear was thrown and struck a devilfish, the head came loose from the shaft. The shaft floated on the water, but the pointed barb was held by the string which was tied to your wrist. This spear was especially good because it could be thrown from a distance. On the first day of spring, I went down to Coral Cove with my new spear. I knew it was spring because that morning at dawn, the sky was filled with flocks of darting birds. They were small and black and came only at this time of year. They came out of the south and stayed for 2 suns, hunting food in the ravines, and then flew off in one great flight toward the north. Rontu did not go with me to the beach because I had let him out of the fence and he had not returned. The wild dogs had been to the house many times that winter, and he had paid no heed to them, but the night before, after they had come and gone, he had stood at the fence. He stood and whined and walked up and down. It worried me to see him act so strangely, and when he refused to eat, I finally let him out. Now I pushed the canoe into the water and drifted toward the reef where the devilfish lived. The water was so clear that it was like the air around me. Far down, the sea ferns moved as though a breeze were blowing there, and among them swam the devilfish, trailing their long arms. It was good to be on the sea after the winter storms, with the new spear in my hand, but all the morning as I hunted the giant devilfish, I kept thinking of Rontu. I should have been happy, yet thinking of him I was not. Would he come back, I wondered, or had he gone to live with the wild dogs? Would he again be my enemy? If he were my enemy, I knew that I could never kill him, now that he had been my friend. When the sun was high, I hid the canoe in the cave we had found, for once more it was the time the Aleuts might return, and with the 2 small bass I had speared, though not the giant devilfish, I went up the cliff. I had planned to make a trail from the cave to my house, but had decided that it could be seen from a ship and by anyone standing on the headland. The climb was steep. As I reached the top, I paused for breath. The morning was quiet, except for the noise of the little birds flying from bush to bush, and the cries of the gulls who did not like these strangers. Then I heard the sound of dogs fighting. The sound came from far off, perhaps from the ravine, and taking my bow and arrows, I hurried in that direction. I went down the path which led to the spring. There were tracks of the wild dogs around the spring, and among them I saw the large ones of Rontu. The tracks led away through the ravine which winds to the sea. I heard again the distant sound of fighting. I went slowly through the ravine because of my bow and arrows. At last I came to the place where it opens into a meadow right at the edge of a low sea cliff. Sometimes in the summers, a long time ago, my people had lived here. They gathered shellfish on the rocks and ate them here, leaving the shells which after many summers had formed a mound. Over this grass had grown, and a thick-leaved plant called gnapan. On this mound, among the grasses and the plants, stood Rontu. He stood facing me with his back to the sea cliff. In front of him, in a half-circle, were the wild dogs. At first, I thought that the pack had driven him there against the cliff and were getting ready to attack him. But I soon saw that 2 dogs stood out from the rest of the pack between it and Rontu, and that their muzzles were wet with blood. One of these dogs was the leader who had taken Rontu's place when he had come to live with me. The other one, which was spotted, I had never seen. The battle was between Rontu and these two dogs. The rest were there to fall upon whichever was beaten. So great was the noise made by the pack, they had not heard me as I came through the brush, nor did they see me now as I stood at the edge of the meadow. They sat on their haunches and barked, with their eyes fixed on the others. But I was sure that Rontu knew I was somewhere near, for he raised his head and smelled the air. The two dogs were trotting back and forth along the foot of the mound, watching Rontu. The fight had probably started at the spring, and they had stalked him to this place where he had chosen to fight. The sea cliff was behind him, and they could not reach him from that direction, so they were trying to think of some other way. It would have been easier if one could have attacked him from the back and one from the front. Rontu did not move from where he stood on top of the mound. Now and again he lowered his head to lick a wound on his leg, but whenever he did, he always kept his eyes on the two dogs trotting up and down. I could have shot them, for they were within reach of my bow or driven off the pack, yet I stood in the brush and watched. This was a battle between them and Rontu. If I stopped it, they would surely fight again, perhaps at some other place less favorable to him.